Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Addiction Solution. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran. And we, together with Stephen Slate, wrote the book, The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap. And we just want to talk a little bit about a little housekeeping here, that we have our certification course. For coaches. And if you want to be a certified Freedom Model coach, we have the spring session coming up in March. And sign up or give us a call or email us at info@thefreedommodel.org to get more information about that. We are also revamping. You can go on thefreedommodel.org. We're revamping that website. So it's going to be completely rebuilt in the next about 3 weeks.
Yes.
And so take a look at that.
Pretty and there's going to be a directory of our certified coaches. We're about halfway through the winter session here, and everybody's doing very well. We've had to postpone some classes because the flu has run rampant here in upstate New York. And I was as sick last week as I've been in probably 20 years.
And that's the second time she got it.
It is. It was very, very bad. But I am feeling much better. I've rinsed around a little cough. But you know, it's amazing what happens if you stay in bed for a week. it's much preferable. In the fall, I tried to work on through it. Yeah. Could not work on through this time, thank God. Because it made a difference. So what else do we want to talk about? In the corner over there, if you're watching, that is a QR code where you can download our free mobile app and get our free ebooks. If you're new to the podcast, and we're probably going to have a lot of new people coming in because Mark has kind of blown things up a little bit on social media while I was sick. He was wreaking some havoc. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the word recovery is an interesting word. And I'm recovering from the flu, but I would never want to say that I was in perpetual recovery from the flu. That would be kind of silly, wouldn't it? That wouldn't make any sense, because once my symptoms are gone, I would be recovered from the flu. Even people that have cancer that go into remission don't identify themselves as being in recovery from cancer.
Right.
They don't want to continue to identify as somebody that has cancer. The goal is to be a cancer survivor. The goal is to be someone who no longer has cancer. Isn't that the goal? So Mark he went out there and he said recovery is bullshit.
Right.
So, and of course, we're talking about addiction recovery.
So I knew that it would incite a lot of people's insecurities and anger and things like that, because recovery, when it comes to substance use or fetishes in general, addictions, right? That what we commonly call as addictions, recovery in those respects is a religion. And so
it is, it's an identity.
Yeah. It's an identity. It has all the earmarks of an actual, its own religion. It has its own dogma. It has its own preachers, and it has its own gurus. It has all the parts of a religion.
Of a cult. I mean, the way it keeps you there by fear. It's completely fear-based. You know, how dare you say that you are recovered? How dare you say that you no longer have addiction?
So what's interesting is when I did these videos, as you do on on the internet, on social media. When you do a short or a reel or something, you have up to 3 minutes to make your point. Recovery has become such a huge part of Western culture with its religious leanings. And I don't mean religious like Christian. What I mean is its own religion, its own belief system, that most of which is false. It's false information.
It's mythology.
It's mythology. It's a group of myths. And coupled with little pieces of truth that make it believable. So when you say something like recovery is bullshit, people freak out. And then there's other people that get it. And so on our channels, this blew up, you know, which we get some things like that. Now, I didn't do it as some sort of stunt.
No,
I think it's important for people to know that recovery is bullshit in the context that you're recovering from a hopeless state of mind and body. And this is the fundamental idea of Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous that spawned the recovery movement, the recovery religion 80 years ago. And we've been, now it's like a virus, this ethos that you are this broken, out of control person has spread to all different arenas. So what's happened is, if I say recovery is bullshit, people will, they'll voice their opinion. They'll say, no, you don't understand. Recovery is me recovering from, it could be feeling bad. It could be recovering from them having a death in the family or their trauma, which incites addiction. And then all these myths and all this complication piles into one word. What I've struggled with in these posts is defining recovery, because it's so ridiculously overused and meaningless, because it means something different for each person. So if you're recovering from cancer, that's a really easy one because you have pathology. You say there are cancer cells, then there are no more cancerous cells when you're in remission or you're cured of it, right? But if you're recovering from feeling hopeless shooting heroin, now we're getting into that amorphous place where we're dealing with the human mind. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where people have become enormously confused. The human mind is a playground of meaning, of values, of what you like and dislike. And it's based in free will. In other words, you can think of anything anytime. So if you personally are recovering from the compulsion, what you deem as the compulsion or out of control use, you immediately are sort of building into this argument that it's like cancer. My mental attitude towards heroin, I can't stop myself. Therefore, I have a disorder and a disease that I am recovering from. But is it a mental disease? Mm-hmm. And then now you start to ask those questions and people freak out because they've really never questioned it.
Right.
And they just have conflated the term recovery, which is a legitimate term when it comes to the physical realm, and they have conflated it with mental and emotional things. And when you do that, you take it from the realm of truthfully recovering from something physical, some physical ailment or situation that is in the physical realm that you can touch and feel. I recovered from bankruptcy. I no longer have it. But when you start to say, I have recovered, and the underlying premise is from a hopeless compulsion and habit I have no control over, now we start to see that the underpinnings of the mental and emotional recovery definition is the loss of control theory. So, which is false. There is no loss of control.
Never was.
Now, people believe there is. So, they're easily able to take what would be a physical recovering or recovery process, and they are able to conflate it or make it apply to what they believe is the same as cancer, except in the mental realm. And that is, I can't control my own thoughts, much like the body can't control the building of these awful cancer cells. And when that equivalency was made by Bill Wilson in 1939, shit got crazy because the religion of recovery was born. The religion is you mentally and emotionally have no capacity to stop yourself without recovery protocols for the rest of your fucking life. And that's false, because the underpinning or the foundation of that argument is that there is some state of loss of control or a hopeless state of mind. Now, you can feel hopeless. I did, she did. But you're not recovering from hopelessness. That is actually true. It is something you believe about yourself and your world, which can change in a thought. You're not recovering from yourself. There is no recovery happening. There is choosing. There is analysis.
There's reasoning.
There's reasoning. There's power within your free will to say, wait a minute, I don't do it. I didn't know that I wasn't hopeless. You're telling me that I really can stop thinking about heroin? Sure you can. People do it all the time. But instead, the argument is, yeah, you're a hopeless addict. And so you get pigeonholed into this recovery world and you don't even fucking know you're being played. So when I say recovery is bullshit, that's what I'm talking about. I'm saying, did you know that the very first thing that the freedom model says and wants you to believe is, did you know that you're totally capable of change? Why aren't we saying that instead of, did you know you have a hopeless state of mind and body and that you're always going to need recovery protocols? And it's really fucking confusing because you may need medications, you may need meetings, you may need a milieu of all these different things. And they use all these technical terms. And meanwhile, you're going to rehabs, you're going to therapists, you're taking medications. And you know what never gets changed? Your preference to get high. It's totally ignored. Simple. So, yeah.
Well, I want to... Let's find a common ground, can we? Because in this world today, if I don't agree with you and you don't agree with me, we have to hate each other, right? We have to think that you're trying to kill people or I'm trying to kill people or whatever. I mean, that's what's flung at us. Anytime we say something that the recovery religious zealots deem to be wrong, in their world, we must be wanting to kill people, right? What we're saying is dangerous.
Right.
Now, we wouldn't be the first people in history, by the way, who were accused of that, okay?
Yeah.
Accused of having a difference of opinion as being dangerous. Like right now, everywhere that's happening. But shouldn't the goal be of helping people solve their problem?
Yeah, effectively.
Effectively.
And with the least amount of effort.
Exactly. Effectively solve your problem. I mean, let's start from that common ground of I want people to achieve the freedom that I have. Okay? I found freedom, like real freedom. And then I was in the recovery movement for a period of time being told that I wasn't free. Okay? And that was unequivocally wrong in my sphere, my world. It felt wrong. It didn't ring true. It was complete cognitive dissonance from the moment I was told it. Oh no, you can never be recovered. Oh, Michelle, as pink as your shirt, right? You're not free. You couldn't possibly have solved your problem because nobody does.
Yeah, that's the premise. That's the premise. And it always goes back to the same thing Bill Wilson said, a hopeless state of mind and body disease.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
And it's just not true. So I'm going to allow for the possibility, right? So as I was in the recovery world, as I was going to meetings and I was trying to toe the recovery line and I was trying to say the things that to me felt absolutely untrue, but I was like, maybe I'm wrong. I'm allowing for the possibility I'm wrong. That's the difference between you and me, okay? The people that are, I avoided, like when I could finally see again, because I had such a high fever, I could barely see. And I started seeing what was happening online. I avoided it because I'm a little traumatized by the fight from years ago. you know, by when I started telling my truth, which turned out to be the truth because the research supported it. We had death threats. We were, the things people would say to us, now, of course, if that was even pre YouTube, pre Facebook, pre internet, like when we started telling the truth and then when we started telling it on the internet, it was crazy. And I figured I had a little PTSD from that. And I'm like, I don't think I want to start that fight again. But you know what? We don't have a choice. Because now I'm watching other people get on the front lines of the fight who found the freedom model. They're leaving. They're like, oh my God, you can be free. Did you know you can be free? And they're getting the vitriol that we used to get. And we can't be quiet now. We can't be quiet anymore. And do I want to start a war? Well, if that's what it's going to take at this point to show people who were experiencing the same cognitive dissonance that I did, who were struggling the same way, to show them, you're right, trust your instincts.
Yeah, it's okay to think for yourself.
It's okay. Critical thinking is the way to freedom. Look, you can't have freedom and fear in the same conversation, okay? If you're fearful of alcohol, if you feel fearful of drugs, if you're fearful of speaking out and asking questions, that's not freedom. That's not a solution. And so, look, we're not taking down the comments that are hateful. We're not taking down the comments that are accusing us of being murderers and whatever, you know, and because we want you to see that's fear. What you're seeing there is fear. It's people who are afraid to think for themselves, who have been completely bought in to the idea that they're weak and alcohol and drugs and all these other things are powerful entities, but hell bent on their destruction. God, what a terrible way to live.
It is. It is a terrible way to live. So I'm going to go through a couple of the comments on our Facebook feed, which are really, really illustrative of what we're talking about. And they're good. These are good things. So while Michelle has been traumatized, I was too, but I'm a little bit further along on the path of, I realize that it's not bothering me as much as I think it's bothering her.
I haven't read them, so they're not bothering me yet. And I don't really give two shits about the opinion of strangers on the internet anymore. I'm over that part of it. I think what it is when people try to tell me what's in my heart, that bothers me.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
Like, but, you don't know me, dude.
Yeah. You don't know what we've been through.
No.
Here's something. So I'm gonna say what I said. Recovery is bullshit. And here's a good example of what we're talking about. This person says, well, I don't find this explanation to make any more sense than the recovery model. From this perspective, it would seem that there was never an issue in the first place. I never said that.
Nope.
I never said that there was. So once again, there's the leap. There's that it is an instantaneous reaction, like I'm saying, and being dismissive of pain, first of all.
It's a false dichotomy. We see it all the time.
All the time. If a person could just choose or make a choice in the first place, then there seems to have been no problem. That's not true either.
No.
You can have tons of problems from drinking and drugging that have nothing to do with whether you believe it's a choice or not. You could believe this is my choice and go kill a family and it's a problem. You could. So there's all kinds of variations. So people immediately jump to, when you say recovery is bullshit, you're dismissing people's pain. You're saying that that it's just a choice. Now, I do say that sometimes, that it is just a choice, but there's a caveat with that. And
oh,
that
yeah.
is, if you believe like this person where it's super complex, That's why we wrote 470 pages to debunk your bullshit. You don't even know it's bullshit. You don't even know what you've been duped to believe in our culture. So if a person could just choose or make a choice in the first place, then there seems to have been no problem. No problem, then nothing to work on or recover from. If the front end of your car is aligned, then there's no problem. If the front of the frame is bent, then you have to work to hold the car on the road. Well, here's what's interesting.
Oh, so they believe you're bent.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. So you really believe that you're broken. You're using an analogy that says, I'm broken.
Like my car.
But so the question becomes not whether it's a choice or not. The question becomes, do you believe that there is a state in which you have lost control, that you are broken and have lost control? Because that's at the root of this. Because if you haven't lost control, then there's nothing to recover from. Recovery implies continued vigilance and ongoing work to maintain abstinence.
Struggle.
So you're saying that it automatically means you feel deprived. That's what, and none of this is actually objectively the case because of a substance. It's a case because that's what the person believes about themselves that they've been taught to believe.
That's right.
And so when I say recovery is bullshit, what I'm saying is all this apparatus that keeps you tied to maintain abstinence, ongoing work, continued vigilance, one day at a time, for a lifetime, what does that imply?
Yeah.
What does that, implies I am broken for a lifetime.
Forever. And every day is going to be a struggle for me.
And here's another one. Let me just see. Okay. As a recovering drug addict, alcoholic, I have to ask myself daily, am I living in recovery or relapse? Holy shit. How depressing is that?
Oh my God.
How utterly depressing. This person actually believes, like I did at one time.
Yeah, I
was there.
I did too.
We were both there. We spent a decade fucking around with all this. As a recovering drug addict, what does that even mean? Well, it means that you're in a perpetual state of deprivation.
It means you're an addict.
Right.
It's the state. Recovery equals addiction. You're telling me, and this is the part, okay? I think I was one week at meetings. And one of these people, quite frankly, his name was Bob, right? Maybe I wasn't even a week.
What chair was it? Was your first meeting?
No, it was. I was like two or three.
Oh, gotcha.
He's chairing the meeting, and he was drama. He was all dramatic, and he picks up his coffee cup and he says, "My name is Bob. I'm an alcoholic." And he picks up his coffee cup and he starts shaking. He said, "I'm this close to a drink today." Right, and I thought, "Fuck that." 5 years. 5 years sober, and he felt like he wanted to drink so bad that he was spilling his coffee. No, I can tell you that I didn't even feel that way that day. And I was 3 or 4 days sober. Actually, I was over a week sober because I had spent a week detoxing. So I was probably about day 8 or 9 for me. And I didn't feel that way. And I went back and went back home from the meeting, sat in my garage and cried. And I thought, oh, I should just kill myself.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. If it helps thousands of people, this is a comment. If it helps people, thousands of people to get help with their addictions, meaning recovery, what's the alternatives? We know they are death or suicide. So here's the crazy part. If you constantly, endlessly telling people that there's no answer, that becomes the thought.
That becomes the only thought. My only way, in my mind, my only way out was death. I was 22 years old.
Yeah, I remember that too. She was really, really depressed for months because of that shit. Despondent.
I was. It was a struggle every day not to drink, people. I wasn't interested in going back to drinking.
It was the idea that you were hopeless in recovery and feeling deprived.
That my whole life from 22 years old on was going to have to be about AA in meetings.
Yeah. Let me see. I really want to. Okay, that.
Spoiler alert. I rejected it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and she moved on. She had a good life and still does.
Excuse me. Laughing still makes me cough.
Okay, so I say recovery is bullshit. And this person says, thanks for adding to the stigma. Nothing to recover from, really? Based on thousands of SPECT scans, Dr. Daniel Amen.
Amen. Daniel, yeah. Amen.
Identifies addiction as a brain health issue, right? It's so funny.
The brain-centered folks emerge.
Yeah. Identifies addiction as a brain health issue, not just a moral failing. So here's what's interesting. There's
the false dichotomy again.
Another false dichotomy. So if I don't agree to say you're a diseased, hapless fuck for the rest of your life and you need recovery,
with a broken brain,
then I'm being mean. And I'm
talk about stigma.
Yeah, that's stigmatizing because it's not even true. But what if I said to the same person, you have the doctor saying that to you, you have a broken brain, you have a chronic progressive brain illness. You don't. But he says that. And that's the compassionate view when we know that more than 90% of people get over their substance use problems successfully with or without treatment. And most, 80% of them, don't have any formal treatment whatsoever. If we know that the vast majority of people move on from these things, then even if there was some sort of brain issue, who gives a shit? Because people move on. Then they cure it by themselves.
They get over it.
Right. The point is brains do change. Brains change all the time. But
it's called neuroplasticity, and that's also been proven by brain people.
Yeah, but it it doesn't even matter. The whole argument is inconsequential to the fact that because people get over the problem, whether they're treated or not. You can't say that for cancer. You can't say that 90% of people with lung cancer will simply walk away from their cancer with a thought, with a change.
By changing their mind.
Yeah, change in perspective. So whenever we bring up or challenge these macro ideas, please know we're not saying that you're a bad person or that it's a moral failing.
Nope.
Or that we never understood the pain or any of that. You're making that assumption. Now, in a 2-minute reel, there's only so much information I can give. So I am punching you right square between the eyes when I say recovery is bullshit. I get that. But that's what this podcast is for.
We needed to start that conversation.
Yeah. And
that the whole premise of the idea of addiction recovery is not only bullshit, but it hurts people.
Yeah. And it's not the compassionate view to lie to people, to trap them into a recovery lifestyle based and predicated on a false disease narrative.
And fear.
That's not compassionate. And it's not stigmatizing to tell them the truth that they can be free and move on with their life. How is that stigmatizing? It's stigmatizing in the other view only because they don't know that data. But we do. We do have that data.
It's there for you. You can learn it.
So let go of the recovery model. Let go of this false disease narrative. Let go of this disorder that there's something broken. There's no brain broken happening here. And you really can move on with your life. You can. There's nothing that stops you except for misinformation. That's what's stopping you. And the massive amounts of propaganda and the lazy, imprecise language of recovery that is a catch-all for every single thing that we feel uncomfortable in the world. And it's the industry that has grown up around this, that if you're broken, we can fix you, kind of, but you got to keep coming back for the rest of your life and shushing, yeah. Shushing. And that's what this is about and has been about since day one in 1935 with Bill Wilson, depressed in the AA clubhouse, writing his bullshit book. And it all emanates from there. Now, if you want to know more about this, the original basic, where this all came from, how it was founded, the disease lie, the recovery lie, all of that starts in the roots of Alcoholics Anonymous, a little bit before that, but Bill took and made infertile soil. He made that blossom. Now, if you want to know more about that, get our deprogramming from the 12 steps course. If you're really interested, if you're not, don't give a shit, get the book. It's cheap. The course is $50 or something.
You can get an audio book. There's an audio book available if you prefer that.
Yeah. And, or just read the free pages on Amazon. I don't care.
You download our mobile app and you can get an abridged version of this for free in our mobile app.
There you go.
So look at what Mark said is true. We're not saying that people don't struggle. Of course they do. We did.
Yeah.
We're not saying that getting over a problem isn't difficult for some people. Of course it is. It isn't for everybody, but it is for some people. It was for me. It was for him. Okay. And the problem I see, the problem is when you identify yourself in recovery, your entire life becomes, first of all, you view yourself as a broken, bad person because you liked feeling high or drunk. And a lot of people like that. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's the stigma right there. You're not supposed to like it. So you rewrite your history. I never really liked it. It was because I was broken. And then even when you stop doing it, as you identify as being in recovery, every problem that you have, every normal life struggle is viewed through that lens of, oh, that's because I'm an addict and I'm broken. Life is hard for everyone. For everyone. Everyone has normal life struggles. And so if you're somebody who, you know, the last 6 months, year, 15 years, 25 years, who's identified yourself as this broken person, allow for the possibility that it was bullshit. Get some new information. And I guarantee you your life will change dramatically and it'll feel a whole lot lighter and a whole lot easier.
Yeah, it does. Life gets good. It's wonderful to be free. And when you see the matrix for what it is, and then you can let it go. Then you're not going to keep some ethos that doesn't serve you.
Nope.
Right now, recovery serves you because you're convinced of a bunch of things that are lies.
And there's good reasons, right, to kind of stay in that little cocoon, just like for the same reasons people stay in bad marriages, mm-hmm. for the same reason that people stay in cults.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain perceived safety there.
It's the benefit of stability.
Yep.
Yeah, there, I get it. We did too. It was the truth. We kept bashing our head against the truth as researchers, and we rejected the truth, rejected it. And then we said,
maybe it's that.
That makes sense. That's too logical. And the whole recovery model was so illogical.
Because, it fell apart. It literally fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah. So get the facts. Get the facts and enjoy your life. And I think Michelle said it best. You're going to feel a lot lighter and life gets a lot better.
It sure does.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. See you next time.
See you next time.